Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
Welcome, everybody. Episode 345 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It has been a minute since I've been on the show, taking a much needed break from the world of craft beer. And boy, did I take the wrong time to take a break because of all the news, and especially around the state of Michigan that has been going on. But let's go around and say hello to everyone, see what everybody is drinking, starting with Rob. Rob, first, did you see that opening? Our brand new opening.
I did. That was very nice work on the actual editing instead of just pasting a white block over the show number and calling it done.
Wait, yes. He didn't see it.
No, he did not see it. He did not see it.
Oh, I saw the picture. It was at me.
Yes, oh. Yes.
Oh, that guy looked way too nice to be me.
Compliments to the folks over at Pints and Panels. M. Souter over there does an amazing job. Did that commission for us. Go check it out. She's got plenty of amazing artwork on her Instagram, Facebook, and of course, if you want your own stuff, you can always go in there and ask her. But Rob, what are you drinking
today? I have a strawberry pineapple wheat to start from Great Lakes Brewing. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, man of short words. Dan, what do you got?
You know, I just came up with a great idea. After that last panel, we just need to add in "and our truth" to it, just to make it complete.
That would be a wrestling joke, I believe, a bingo square.
Yeah, Ken got it. I've got myself an old
student. I didn't get it.
Wendy, what are you drinking over there?
So I picked up a Red Zeppelin. It is an English-style red ale from Burnham Brewing in Michigan City, Indiana. It is delicious.
Great city name. Horrible state. Sorry, Rob.
Not that long ago. I love that beer.
We do love our fans over in Indiana. If you are in the chat live, go and say hello, see what's up. Come talk to us. We have a brand new starting time a little bit later in the evening, so hopefully we'll catch a few more live viewers. But of course, if you are listening to the podcast, you can go check out the video live over at youtube.com/betteronDraft, facebook.com/betteronDraft. And if you're watching the video, of course, you can subscribe and just get the audio so you do not have to look at my face the entire show. For myself, I have a nice tall glass of Old Nation's B43. That I will be drinking throughout the night and enjoying. Well, I want to go over the first topic real quick, just because I think there is a lot of news that has happened within the state of Michigan. And while we are a more national and international podcast, we still, you know, are close to our roots, even though Dan is in Arizona. I guess it's just half of us now, me and Wendy here in Michigan.
Yeah, hold on here.
Bringing it down. Well, you know, we've had a lot of fans join us through the Michigan Beer Days. So there is a lot of updates to go through since I have been gone, which includes Brewery Nix announced today that they are going to be closing up shop, Michigan's only gluten-free brewery. They were also a gluten-free kitchen, so I'm surprised that did not take off as much as it needed to. Chelsea Ale House also announced today or yesterday that they are going to be closing in May. Dragon's Landing closed over in St. Clair Shores at the old shipwreck site, which I kind of figured could be happening. You got three breweries in competition and everyone still loves the OG site. Jaden James is closing up shop and moving to Rockford, so you'll still be able to get your monkey butter, just in a different city. Grand Rapids Brewing had a fire and closed, and they are closed for good. They will not be reopening. I believe that's going to be the same fate for Traffic Jam and Snug, which had a fire a year and a half ago. Michigrain Distillery is now closing their tap room. They're just going to be for private parties. Guardian, of course, as we knew, is closed. They're moving to be closer to their family. North Center Brewing, our friends at North Center, RIP, to the brewery itself. Kevin is still alive and well, but the brewery sadly is not. And we did get an announcement a couple days ago that One Drop will be not evicted. The lease is not going to be renewed. I guess that's evicted, but evicted sounds harsh. Is there a better word for that?
non-renewal.
Forcefully not being able to renew. So One Drop is looking to move their facility to another area. I think we've talked about it a handful of times here on the show, and I don't think this is necessarily a craft beer bubble. I don't think the bubble is bursting. I think there is a little bit of correction, a little bit of, you know, COVID finally catching up to a lot of breweries. Obviously a little private stuff, but kind of going over to Dan and Rob, are you guys seeing this mass number of closings within your states? Is this a Michigan only thing? What are your thoughts? I'll start with Rob here.
Yeah, I haven't noticed a lot of closures in Indiana. Not like this. Like this, these I think were all in the last month or two. I've seen these announcements. The Grand Rapids one I was a little surprised about, and I did see that their sign just sold for $2,000, which is interesting. But we lost, so Indiana City is one I can remember closed very, very recently, and that was the same deal where the lease was not renewed. I think that they chose not to renew because the rate was jacked way up type of a thing. But that's hard for a brewery. That's a lot of equipment that you got to move. It's more than just looking at the lease price. It's moving all that stuff. So no, I guess is the shorter answer to that. It's no, I haven't seen it so much here in Indiana. I haven't seen that many breweries close, just kind of a normal number.
Dan, are you noticing anything over there in Arizona?
Yeah, more and more keep opening. I can't tell you a single brewery that's actually closed in quite a while, actually.
And I mean, we're not like closing and only closing. Like a lot of people who do have the Michigan Brewery Map app, which is a free app on your Android and iOS device, you could go in there and you could see plenty of upcoming breweries as well as breweries that have recently opened. You know, there are breweries like, as I'm looking, I think Grand River opened up their Clausen Brewery. I believe One For All opened while I was gone over in Livonia. And there's definitely a few more that have come through. So yeah, we are still seeing breweries open. Six Spoke is still on its process of opening. WHL, Salty Mac. But yeah, you're not seeing any closings or anything like that is what you're saying.
No, there hasn't been a closing in quite a while, actually. So it's going pretty strong out here.
Well, I guess as someone who has lived in Michigan, moved to Arizona, why do you think Michigan is having this domino effect of closing breweries all at one time?
I think it's oversaturated. We talked about that 7 years ago. I think there's just too many breweries in too many locations out there, too close to each other. Like you mentioned, three competing with each other in one location. That's not going to survive forever.
Yeah, I was talking about Dragon's Landing, which was only a handful of miles from the Dragon Mead Brewery over in Warren, Michigan. But they were competing against Jamex, Baffin, and Copper Hop. And of course, there was that new brewery that just opened up right over by in Gross Point that I am just someday opened over there. So yeah, there's a lot of breweries that are closing and opening at the same time. So I was just curious if you had maybe any more thoughts on it, if you think there's anything else that I didn't mention that might be a issue, but you still think it's saturation and just that.
Yeah, because when I think about the breweries out here, outside of the one stretch out here, a couple of stretches, I should say, in the, like down here, you've been down there on Roosevelt Row, where we went to the one, I think, no, that's the second to last brewery that closed, the one we went to when you were out here. Places like downtown Gilbert have two or three, but anywhere else they're all spread out. There's nothing really, you know, congested. They're all pretty isolated from each other. So it keeps it pretty, you know, has a set. They're not competing for the same customers, basically, is what I think is going on.
To some degree, sure if it's me and just the way I have changed, but I feel like there's still that COVID recovery and there's not as many, I don't have as many opportunities to go out to destinations and, you know, hit a bunch of breweries type of a thing. Also, my liver doesn't seem to allow it anymore. I do not recover as well.
I think consumption and the changes in consumption, which I want to talk about a little bit later, but Wendy, you're with me here in Michigan. You obviously have been to many of these breweries that I named. What is your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a lot more than just the beer industry, especially and us being oversaturated. I think there's a lot of restaurants that are closing as well. I see that happen on the daily on my social medias. I think people aren't going out as much as they used to. Honestly, that's kind of, I mean, I've come across that too, just myself, that, you know, as I'm getting older, life changes and I have other priorities than going and hanging out. So I think that we're kind of seeing that trend in a lot of places. If you look at some of the lists, though, a lot of it is that they're moving. They're not necessarily closing. So you have to pay attention to that as well. And I said, I've been saying for a few years now that the breweries that are really going to take off and survive are the ones that get a strong foothold in their community. You know, you look at the breweries like Batch has taken off. And it's because of the roots that they've put down and the ties they've made within their community and throughout the area. So I think that a lot of that has to do with it as well.
Yeah, in our chat, Bill Carney is talking that, you know, Nick's is kind of niche, whereas Jaden James was also a part of a bunch of wineries, and Michigrain didn't sell that much beer. Michigrain also had the issue of being across the street from Lansing Brewing Company, which is a massive facility where they have beer, spirits, wine. They have, like, cornhole, patio. Like, it is a place where they can not only hold a bunch of people, so they don't have to necessarily turn anybody away, but they also, you know, keep people there for hours with their games, you know, giant Jenga, cornhole, that kind of stuff that kind of keeps people drinking more beer or attending that type of facility. I guess let's kind of, when was the last time you all went to a brewery?
I missed trivia this week, so it's 2 weeks for me.
2 weeks.
Otherwise, I go every Tuesday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, it's been about 2 weeks for me.
Yeah, it was yesterday for me.
Do you think that you guys, minus your like weekly thing, because that can be done at a bar in any, you know, any place. It's not necessarily because it's a brewery. Do you see yourselves drinking less today than you were, say, during the pandemic or even pre-pandemic?
Yeah, I was actually pretty good during the pandemic, not drinking that much, but I think I'm drinking less these last couple of weeks. Well, I was golfing last weekend, so that one doesn't really count, but
I think
more.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, like when you're dealing with those types of specialty events, not everyone is necessarily upset that they're drinking or they're having a few extra drinks, because the event around it is why you're drinking. You're not drinking, you know, to the event. For me, I definitely have cut back a lot on booze intake since, like, especially the beginning of COVID. I think I was a little too wild during then. Coming after this show, and I'm drinking until 3-4 in the morning. Even before, like, I'm not going to breweries as much as I want to anymore. I'm not going to bars. I'm not doing anything special. Like, I used to go to karaoke like 4 nights a week. I would go to pool halls. I would go to, the casino or city club. Like, there's plenty of places that club. That's not. I want my money. Like, I want to drink my money. I don't want to like have like 5 minutes with my money. I want at least a good 15, 20. And that's really pricey at one of those facilities. From what I'm told.
From what you're told. Yeah.
Thank you for catching that. But really, like, Dan and Wendy, like, even like pre-COVID to now, I know we've all aged 5 years. You know, naturally, but probably 10 years just from all the stress and everything. Are you going out as much? Are you doing as much? Would you be doing as much if you didn't have other obligations?
I'll go. I probably still would be going out as much if I didn't have other obligations. obviously I take Grim with me when I go a lot of times now. She doesn't drink beer, but she will hang out with me, and it never fails. She always wants to try it and goes every time. It's the funniest thing. I have so many videos. One day I'm going to do a compilation of her trying all my different beers, because she always makes faces and says yuck. And but she never remembers that she doesn't like beer, so she always wants to try it. So, yeah, I would probably be doing more if I didn't have those obligations. I still like the traveling and the going around and seeing the different breweries, and you get a feel for the area that you're in. And I love how every brewery has its own unique feel when you walk in. I find that amazing that we can have so many different places that do the same thing.
I'm especially with you on that, like a weekend where you can go, or a week where you can go somewhere else and visit a bunch of breweries. I love those outings. I love those things. I don't know what it is with me lately. I haven't scheduled any of those for quite a while. Plus I usually, before COVID, I was traveling for work a lot. And so it was kind of built into that. I could, you know, stay an extra day or whatever and, you know, see what was going on there. Plus the week I was working. So I do miss that. I was thinking more, my buddies and I, we used to pick like a Saturday. Well, we've got trivia coming up on Saturday downtown, I think. We're not sure if it's this week or next week. But if it's this week, then we will probably go down early and, you know, pregame at a couple of bars near the place, and then eventually walk there and do trivia and get some food and then get home eventually. We used to do stuff like that without having trivia as the kind of thing that we were coalescing around. We would just go. And sometimes it's a bike ride or whatever, but we haven't done any of that for a while. It just hasn't come together. So I don't know if other people are experiencing that, if there's just less drive to get out there or what, if just,
well, me. I've noticed too, that like a lot of my friend groups, I have a very specific group of friends that we've been friends for a very long time. And we would always try to get together every couple months and we would go out. But now that we're getting older, you know, some have kids, some have dogs, some have Grams, and we tend to get together at each other's houses now. So like tomorrow we're going to have, or Sunday, we're going to have brunch at a friend's house instead of going out for brunch.
Yeah. That sounds less COVID related and more just age related, maybe.
Yeah.
I just haven't really had the opportunity to see a lot of friends. When we were going out all those times, that was just kind of your chance to catch up with everyone. Everyone knew that on X date, like Saturdays, we are at this place. This is the bar we go to. Whoever shows up that week shows up. Whoever doesn't. And now I haven't, you know, seen a lot of people in months and probably even years still, unless it involves some type of very specific event, like a Lions game or, I heard someone gasp.
What happens when you move like close to Lake Michigan? So, I mean, it tends to happen.
I'm just an Ypsilanti. I'm not that far.
Close to Lake Michigan.
I'm still closer to Ohio than I am Lake Michigan, which isn't really saying much. That is Ohio.
When I lived in Ipsy, we used to go to Toledo for concerts because it was closer than Pontiac.
Yeah, there is a show on Pontiac tomorrow I'm debating going to as well. But that's the worst part about Pontiac, though, is that it's an hour and a half away and the show doesn't end until 2:30 in the morning. And you're like, oh, well, I'll be home at 4, I guess. And there goes my entire Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah, and talking about it, like, don't get to see friends anymore. So we don't go out anymore. And I don't know if it's necessarily an age thing. Cause I mean, I'm getting old up there. I'm 37. I am 37. So, you know, I did a little bit. I did a little math in my head. I'm like, am I 37? Am I 38? So I know as I get older, I just don't go out as much as I used to. And I don't know if it's necessarily a age thing, because I've always naturally hung out with older people. Like I you know, usually I'm the youngest person in any group, whatever I do, whether it's better on draft.
You know what I just laughed at? Sorry.
No. It's but that's kind of what it is. I've just always, you know, hung out with older people. And, you know, even when I'm bowling, like I'm the youngest kid on my bowling team still. It's just a weird thing to see, you know, all these other people still going out, whereas I'm just kind of cutting back, not going out as much. And it's not for any like savings issue or monetary issue or anything like that. I want to stay in and watch the new Fallout series or play a game and just go to bed at a decent time.
Yeah. Could be a seasonal thing too. When the weather's nice, I do get out a lot more.
I mean, even when the weather gets nicer, the only change is that I hang outside on my patio and smoke a cigar. Like that's the difference, is that I go outside, but I don't go out. Whereas like Dan, when
go what? Ahead, Ken, what? Sorry.
No.
Thinking, real man of travel there, heading from the living room to the patio. Traveling man over there.
Hey, sometimes, sorry. You know, if it's raining, it's the living room to the garage. So, you know, I go to the east side of my home and the west side of my home.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
I think I can get a hot passport stamp at both sides too. Buy one, get one free drinks.
There you go.
I feel like it's just a me problem now. Y'all are like, Ken, you're an old fogey.
You're the youngest nothing here, and you act like you're 60.
I mean, sometimes. In fact,
I know 60-year-olds that go out more than that.
So do I. Like that's you know, I see one of my friends that I used to bowl with. He's retired. He's got like 4 kids, 5 grandkids, and him and his wife are just like trekking the entire city of Detroit, going from bar to bar to bar to bar. And I'm like, how have you been to, like, he's lived in the city for so long and he still goes to, oh, never seen this place before. Oh, never been to this place before.
Yeah. He's got to get out of the house for some quiet, go to a bar where it's quieter.
He goes with his wife, like him and his wife, just like trendset. Like when we
get away from the kids and grandkids.
I think thankfully they don't have them at the, cause they just live in an apartment. They sold their house in Madison Heights or whatever, and just got an apartment in Detroit to not worry about upkeep and all that other shit that they have to worry about. I was going to mention, because they came and saw us over at the March Draftist party for Copperhop 2 years ago, which we have a winner. Have you guys been on since we've crowned our new March Draftist winner?
We've not really announced it.
I said
something in one of the teasers. We were
going to be, but then you canceled it.
Oh, yeah.
I canceled it.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, we were going to do a show, and you're like, nope.
Oh. I mean, y'all could have did a show after the 3 hours we were hanging online. But Arctic Circle is our winner over in Chesterfield. Apparently, we cannot get out of Macomb County for too long, as they won with the runners-up being Coopersville Brewing in Coopersville, Michigan. Now, a lot of people who were participating in the March Draftness competition, half of them didn't know where Coopersville was. The other half didn't know where Chesterfield was. So they are definitely learning about each other, but we are going to be celebrating and doing our keg release party on their Sour Magazine Day, which is going to be May 4th, 2024. We're going to be recording a podcast live before they open. And then starting at noon, we're going to be giving away a keg 1 pint at a time. That is their grand prize. So we do hope we see you guys there. Of course, while thousands of you voted, only a handful of you could get a beer. So make sure you get there, get in line, get early. And did you guys do any predictions or anything like that? Did you talk about March Draftness on the show while I was gone?
Yeah, the last show we had had the final four. We went over, and it was pretty good, I thought. I forget who I picked out of those. I was pulling, was Coopersville in the north?
Coopersville was in the northwest. Yeah, Grayling versus Coopersville. Rolling Oak.
Yeah, that's the one I took the long shot on, and it didn't pull off.
No, I thought Rolling Oak was going to do. I was waiting for a nice little drive up to Grayling in the summer to go check it out. I might just have to do it just to do it now. But Rolling Oak is a beautiful brewery. I'm trying to think of who the fourth brewery was in that competition, if it was Rustic Leaf or if it was
Rustic Leaf.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a heartbreaker for them, that's for sure. Did anybody pick Arctic Circle to be the winner?
I think I did.
I thought Rob did.
Yeah, I wasn't invested. Honestly. I think I did, yeah, because I like their name.
Better on Draft is brought to you by Zatuna Liquor, located on Rochester Road, just south of M59. Zatuna Liquor is your one-stop shop for beer, wine, spirits, and more. Stop in for daily tastings, single cans and bottles of beer, and a wide variety of NA options. With Zatuna Liquor ready to serve, you only need one place to visit. Better on Draft is brought to you by the Craft Tapped app. For $14.99, you are unlocking 50% off two drinks at up to 10 venues a month. And if you use code BOD at checkout, that's right, BOD for Better on Draft, you could save even more money on that yearly subscription. Go check out former March Draftness winners like Ogma Brewing in Jackson, Copper Hop in St. Clair Shores, or even the 2024 March Draftness winner Arctic Circle in Chesterfield. Better on Draft is brought to you by the Detroit Brew Trail. Visit Detroit has put together an amazing list of places to grab your next pint while collecting prizes and swag along the way. Some breweries even have discounts for users of the Detroit Brew Trail. Head over to visitdetroit.com/digital passes. That's right, visitdetroit.com/digital passes to learn more about the Brew Trail and grab some of Visit Detroit's other free passes, including their dining pass, their pizza pass, and the Explore Detroit pass. No download necessary.
I just pieced together one of their shticks. Because the Penguin, obviously Arctic Circle makes sense, the Penguin. But then they always did Sour Magazine Day. And if you hear the inflection in my voice when I say Sour Magazine Day, it almost sounds like the Billy Madison quote of Nudie Magazine Day, where there's the Penguin in the trips, the drunken trips that he takes while he is all over the place. So, so we had... Arctic Circle win, and I'm trying to pull up the website because I believe Rustic Leaf had been so close to winning a handful of times, and they it might not have been. Oh yeah, they were runner up in 2018, so I know Rustic Leaf has been up there a few times. But yeah, last year Two Guys was the runner up, and I don't even know if they were in our competition this year. Now that I think about it, so they didn't have a chance to. Were. No, they weren't. I'm looking at the list right now. Yeah,
I have to go back to a thing that you said and point out that there are no penguins in the Arctic.
You know,
I was going to say the same thing. There are none up there.
I don't live there, so I don't know.
Well, you're about to have to cross Hudson Bay next week when you go out there. So, isn't that how far north it is?
You're right.
Where their breweries at? No?
I got it. Yeah.
You said Hudson Bay, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I could not catch.
You're looking for the Northwest Passage up there.
I don't know. I mean, Dan was the one that was alive in the ice age, so he probably crossed the ice bridge up there.
Apparently me too.
Yeah, I'm the old soul here.
Ken walks around in a bathrobe and slippers all day.
Get my newspaper delivered to my door still.
Does that still
got a kid? Got a kid throwing them. Oh yeah, I'm sure you probably could. Except I don't think there's a kid anymore on a bicycle. Still. I think it's a car that's throwing them out the window. Also, while I was gone, they announced the top 50 breweries by production, which caused a little chatter over on the Facebook Better on Draft page, because people, I think, really took it personally that it was a production list and not a what's the best beer list or what was the highest rated beer list or anything like that.
Why would you get hurt over that? I don't even understand.
Well, those are straight up numbers.
Yeah, so people didn't understand two things. One, the numbers of the breweries and how they got there. Two, why Perrin was there, not realizing that they're owned by Monster Energy. And three, like, you know, just a lot of like either where's Bells? Where's Founders? Or this list is terrible. Perrin is terrible beer. Why isn't Holmes on there? Or why isn't Old Nation on there? I'm like, it's
terrible beer, but it comes in huge volumes, apparently.
Yes, yes. There is one that I noticed on here, and I don't know if you want to go over, or two main ones that I noticed. One, Athletic Brewing is a top 10 brewery now, craft brewery in the state of Michigan, which, of course, is the largest non-alcoholic only house in this country.
Aren't they in the state of California?
They are not in Michigan, no. So the top 50 production in the country, not of Michigan only. Yeah, that list probably won't come out for another month while they're getting all the rest of the information in. They are in California and they're in another state. I think they're on the East Coast as well. They had two breweries because if you remember, they're in Connecticut. They were, when they came onto the show years ago, they actually had one of their owners was at the new brewery in California. So they're in California. Massive. Yes. They understood exactly what was about to happen to them, and they went off with the production and everything. So Monster Brewing is number 9, which owns Comstock, Michigan's Perrin. Bell's Founder is not on that list. But the other one that I'd never heard of, and apparently there's a place over here that carries it. Have you guys ever heard of the brewery Montucky Cold Snacks?
Yeah,
yes.
They make a lager or something like that.
Yeah, it's got like a unicorn on it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they make a beer and they are the 40th biggest brewery in the country because of that.
Out here, that's one of the beers they'll have. You know, if you go to a place that doesn't have much craft beer, that'll be one of the ones that they have at a lot of places.
I'll have a beer. Yep.
Yeah.
So that's like the 2009 version of Fat Tire, where like any place that had like one craft tap, it was most likely Fat Tire.
Yes.
Yes. Usually it's in cans, though. I haven't seen it in tap personally, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked up where they are, and there's like one place in Ipsy that sells it. And then the next place is like Ferndale. Like that's the next closest place that sells it over here. But I had never heard it before. I'd never seen it before. So it kind of definitely struck my eye when I was going through the list. Is there any other breweries? I know Wendy's favorite Trogues is number 27 on that list. But were there any breweries, any surprises, anything that you're missing or seeing or anything like that, or surprised to continue to see?
It still blows my mind that New Glarus is number 11 and only sells in the state of Wisconsin. Blows my mind every single time I see it.
Part of me almost thought that Montucky Cold Snacks was only in Montana, but apparently it's a lot bigger than I even knew about, even after reading about it.
First thought was Athletic, they do the non-alcoholic. Nyx is doing, you know, gluten-free stuff, and you almost have to operate at a volume comparable to Athletic if you're going to be in such a niche area, just to get your product out there.
I think there's more sober curious, like the people that want an alcohol-free beer can still drink alcohol, whereas the people that want gluten-free beer can only drink gluten-free beer. So I think there's definitely a issue of want versus need when it comes to those two. But in the same token, I agree that I felt like giving the ability, you know, prior to the whole non-alcoholic thing, like there was a handful of massive bars over in Dearborn that were alcohol free that a lot of people went to because they knew they were alcohol free. You know, a little bit of culture. And then of course people coming into Dearborn just to do, you know, to have the food, have the non-alcoholic drinks. So I think that is a big thing, whereas gluten-free, gluten intolerance. And I mean, these are brewery Nyx is for the people who are massive celiacs, like that can't even smell gluten without bad things happening. Dan, I think you've tried to get in a word edgewise a few times. What were you going to say? Well,
real quick with the gluten-free thing, I think finally a lot of people have dropped off that fad where they think that they need to not have gluten versus it's really only the people with celiacs that can't have it. So I think that's kind of finally tapered down. But what caught my attention, and correct me if I'm wrong, I noticed Kona Out in Kona was on there. And don't they brew their own beer? I'm not quite sure how they ended up on that list, because I feel like they only brew for the state of Hawaii. But maybe I'm wrong.
I thought they had a mainland version as well.
They do, but it's owned by someone else, I thought. I could be completely wrong here.
Yeah, there's
Connecticut, New Jersey, something like that.
There is, I'm looking at the Kona website and like information and stuff. They do, however, distro in 36 states and 10 countries. And it looks like at this time, it might only be the handful of breweries on the islands themselves. But yeah, I'm not seeing anything that's outside of Hawaii, like in the main 48, like you were saying. They were also they were part of the Craft Beer Alliance at one point, which I don't think they are anymore. So I think that is part of it, because that had like Widmer, Red Hook, Portsmouth.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that too.
Maybe that could have been the thing where you would have saw like Craft Beer Alliance and saw all those other cities and states. But for Kona itself, it looks like Kona just manages Hawaii and of course ships it out to other places.
I'm surprised Minhas is so low. They used to at least make all the Kirkland lagers. And that alone has got to be huge volume.
Filthy 50. Hell yeah.
Yeah, Minhas has always been like, because that's a Canadian owned technically company, because the lady that owns Minhas is also on the Canadian version of Shark Tank, Dragon's Den, which might be the actual like the American version of, you know, or Dragon's Den's the, or Shark Tank's the American version of Dragon's Den. There we go.
Of the British
Dragon's Den. Figure it out. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. We all steal from each other. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, yeah. Right. They're set up in Calgary. It was a big deal when they opened up operations in the US, and there was a huge like kerfuffle about it being a tax dodge and stuff. And I was in Calgary when all that stuff was going down, just on vacation. I've been to Minhas in Wisconsin. It was a pretty neat tour. They were interesting to tour. But yeah, their volume, just the amount that they can produce in such a small facility in that the Monroe location, is pretty impressive. I'm surprised that it's that low. Like, they are a huge contract brewer.
Yeah, I think they have, one, if you have the ability, like if you have the production, you could just run the tanks all day. Like, you can run 2 to 3 batches a day pretty easily, as long as you have the space to hold it. That's obviously most likely the big issue, is not necessarily brewing the batches as much as holding the batches. Where are you going to hold them? Where are you going to store them to let them, you know, get made for 30 days? But yeah, Minhas was on there. Is there any other breweries that kind of just stick out to you while you're looking at the list itself?
Point Brewery, Stevens Point Brewery. They make Point Beer, which was my first craft beer that I ever really had. My dad always used to bring it back from Wisconsin whenever we went up there. So we'd have a bottle every once in a while at home. My wife just visited them, and they've been on my bucket list for ages. But she went up there, she visited them, and she visited Central Waters, which is in the same area. Point Brewing is another, I mean, they're a big contract brewer. They do their own stuff, but they contract brew for other people too. So I'm not surprised they're on the list. I am kind of surprised they're only at 19.
Wendy, Dan, anyone else?
No, nothing else really stuck out. It was just the Kona one. I was like, oh, that's actually pretty interesting.
I'm a little surprised Real Gales is still on there.
I
don't see them a lot anymore.
Just around Portland, they have so many brew pubs that could get them on the list.
There could be.
Yeah, I can't think of the last time I saw a Rogue in a store. thinking about it now.
I definitely seen Rogue, but I just don't buy dead, because didn't they go through the whole like dead guy brand change? Kind of like when what's the Voodoo Ranger started doing all the Voodoo Rangers and stuff. I feel like that was a thing. Like they had like four different dead guys and everyone got mad because like it wasn't their dead guy anymore. It was
I think they still do that, and I think two dead guys have won. And they're very different beers.
Yeah, there was
variants of the same beer.
Well, they are not Highlanders, that's for sure.
There you go. I see Dead Guy Coffin Club, which is Dead Guy IPA, Dead Guy Pills, Dead Guy Pale, and Dead Guy Ale. So there was four dead guys at one point, different dead guys. At least Voodoo Ranger keeps it in the IPA category.
Yeah, I was going to say, they just do different variants and everyone buys them.
Yeah, Bell's stuck to the IPAs too with all their hearted variants. So many of those now.
I have to tell you, I really like the Voodoo Ranger peach tea. It's delicious. It's super sweet. Voodoo Ranger
peach tea?
It is. It's a hard tea, but it's really good. I don't mind it.
Is it an IPA?
I don't think I could drink like two of them. No, absolutely not. It is 100% RTD hard tea.
Huh.
See, they're branching out. They know everyone notices the brand. Now they just got to make more different kinds. Yep.
Before we kind of get into RTDs and stuff a little bit more, Rob, you got some beer from Great Lakes Brewing. Give us a little rundown of what you think about it.
So I got the strawberry wheat from, well, that's the one I'm currently drinking, from Great Lakes. I got three others and I really wish I had them all in there with me so I could remember them, but, they re-released, the monster, the Great Lakes monster, like a Loch Ness monster. I am loving the strawberry wheat. It has got a lot of strawberry flavor and I really like that. And it tastes like real strawberries. So that's more strawberry than wheat, but it's quite delicious. And it's funny that I got beer from them because theirs was the 15 pack that I took golfing with me last weekend. And so I've actually been drinking rather a lot of Great Lakes brewing over the past week or so.
Perfect. So the one other thing I wanted to talk about, because we discussed a little bit in the, you know, what's going on with all the breweries and y'all calling me old and 60-year-old and a robe and slippers. There's been a handful of studies, obviously, as COVID hit, people started to drink more because they were drinking at home. They were spending almost the same amount of money at home as they were outside, which, of course, gets you more beer and alcohol at home. But as more people are coming out of COVID and they are starting to go out more and stuff, people aren't drinking as much, but the people who are drinking more. So not only do we have an issue of heavy drinkers going out there, but a lot of people slowing down and killing it, as well as Gen Z. Right now, nearly half of Gen Z over the age of 21 has yet to consume alcohol. Whereas typically that rate is around 3 out of 10, as generations do age into the alcohol industry. And there was another interesting stat that I saw, that a quarter of drinkers, in total will have tried to do dry January back in 2024. But in that quarter, when you get into like the crosstabs, like 46% are rarely drink already and 41% drink only 1 to 5 drinks a week. Which brings you at 13% of, drinkers that drink, you know, at least one drink a day on average. So with this, the trends of Gen Z going for different options, whether it's RTDs, whether it is mocktails or alcohol spirits, more premium alcohol, different options. Like, do you think this is going to cause an issue for breweries in the future? Or do you think this is kind of like a, you know, as Dan kind of said, like a fad with the people with quote unquote gluten deficiencies that didn't actually have them? Not to say not everyone has, there's people who do have it, not as many people as claimed.
Yeah, the ones that pretended to be. You know, this is anecdotal, but is a place I go to on the weekends. It's a dive bar place, but they have karaoke and everything. People in there, you know, and we joke about my age, but, you know, I'm in my mid-40s. These people that are up there are definitely in their early 20s to mid-30s. So I don't know if it's everywhere. And I see the same thing down here at the breweries, you know, that are downtown. They're packed with people 20s, 30s, and 40s. So I don't know. Again, all anecdotal, but what I've seen, it doesn't seem to be an issue.
I've got more anecdotes. One of the guys on my trivia team is Gen Z. Like, he's actually my son's age, roughly. Just a friend from a game, and we've been playing trivia for might be a year now. But yeah, and so that's at a bar, and he does drink, at least at the bar. And then when we go out sometimes on weekends and things. But my son was just visiting us for the eclipse. We were in the path of totality here. It was very exciting, very cool. Speaking of big traveling, well, they came down from Madison, Wisconsin, but then we walked across the street to the soccer field and watched from there, which was pretty cool. But I can tell you those five Gen Zers do drink. I don't know if it's because they were here for the eclipse, you know, and it was a party, but yeah.
Well, it was like it was nighttime, so you had to knock back like five beers during those minutes.
Now, Wendy and I, if you haven't listened to the Dingus Day episode with Eastern Market Brewing, went over to Dingus Day over in Eastern Market, and it felt like it was a much older crowd over there. I don't know if you felt the same way, but everyone that I saw there was in their late 30s, early 40s, and then, of course, you know, 50s, 60s, and 70s, it felt like, with some of the people that we saw celebrating Dingus Day. When you go out, Wendy, and you go out and do, you know, your Supernatural or wherever you go, are you seeing younger people, older people? Like, I personally am not seeing it, but I probably aren't paying as much of attention as I think I am.
I see a big mix when I go out. And at least here, when I go out of state, I'm usually at breweries at weird times. But when I go out here, it's usually in the evening. So there's a lot more people. And I don't think that, like, the breweries are still full. There's a lot of people in there, and there's so many different age groups. I see young people, I see older people. I don't know that I believe that they're just not drinking. They might be choosing to drink less and do other things. I don't really know anybody that doesn't drink at least every now and then. Like, I know people who say they don't really drink, but they will have a drink when they go out with their friends. So, yeah.
Maybe it's the definition of drinking. Like, when we talk about going out and drinking, we might be referring to going out, you know, 3-4 nights a week to karaoke, to trivia, to whatever else, you know, industry night, that kind of right. stuff. Like, are we just going less? Are they going less so we don't hear it? Because I think about, like, all the days that I used to drink way too much. And then, you know, obviously it go to what's
yeah, go to class in the morning.
Yeah, like class or work or whatever. Like, I'd go to, like, Augie's, RIP Augie's. That's a place that closed recently, apparently. And I would go in and have, like, four Boombas for $12 of Guinness. And just that was kind of the night. Whereas now, like, I could never imagine a place getting that much Guinness for that cheap either. Maybe that's a thing to think about too, is that people are, you know, they were already spending money on premium, and now they're just like, well, I'm only going to spend on the little premium that I want to. But I think maybe we're conflating what we used to think is drinking. Like, going out and having a beer with dinner wasn't drinking to us. That was just having a beer with dinner. Whereas now, like, that's considered drinking, is having a beer with dinner or having a drink with dinner.
Yeah, that could definitely be part of it. I'm going through my head of the various places I frequent, or at least am familiar with around Indianapolis, regularly familiar with. And, like, so we've got Books and Brews in Brownsburg, which I go to pretty regularly. And that one's a mix because they've always allowed families because they've got food and stuff. And so that one, you get the really young kids, but they're not drinking because they can't. But their parents are happy to go because they can drink. I mean, the food there is adequate enough to get, you know, the legally minimum type of a thing. But the food there is good enough. So it keeps everybody happy. But then we've got Metazoa downtown. And when they went in, there wasn't much around them. There was just an office park, a very large pharmaceutical company based in Indianapolis is right there, basically across the parking lot from them. And shortly after they opened, huge condos went up in the area, and they're full of young kids, you know, recently out of college type of a thing. And Metazoa is just always full of young kids. They've got the dog park, so these people who live in condos can have dogs and take it over to the dog park. And it's just, they seem really well set up and situated for the younger crowds. There's some of us olds in there too, but it's mostly young kids.
Some of us olds.
I refuse to call myself an olds.
Ken's the only old person here.
And I'm pretty sure he's our youngest.
I am by a good amount of years too. That's for sure. Yeah, I might be physically younger than y'all, but apparently my mentality has me as a forgotten generation.
He does have a lot of get off my lawn moments.
I do. I can't even deny that. I'm still I shared a few things on Facebook just to poke you a little bit, Wendy. The whole flight anti-flight thing.
Yeah, I think Minnesota does a 12 glass flight.
And I feel like more and more people are coming onto my side these days in team non-flight.
I don't agree with that. What I get out of everything that we've been talking about online is that everything has a time and its place. And every single one of those people have been like, there are times when I want a flight, but there are times when I don't think it's appropriate, which is nothing that we haven't said. As somebody who is pro-flight, I'm not going to order a flight when there's 100 people waiting in line. But if there's nobody there, why wouldn't I just get the flight so they can do it all at once and then go about their business instead of having to keep coming back to me? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, the big change too of craft beer is that there's a lot less servers. There are a lot less, there's more bar service, or like funneled bar service, you might call, like with Eastern Market Brewing, where you kind of just walk up, order, and go sit down. With your beer, like they hand you the beer and you go, almost like a barista, like a coffee shop.
I think that's normal for most breweries, though. A lot of the breweries that I've been to are like that. It's not just new. Like, they've always been like that.
I think maybe the big thing, because I always sit at the bar, so I never necessarily, I guess, realize it until all the times that I've gone out with, like, my fiance, and I realize how we're ordering the beer a little bit more. But again, that's just because I typically sit at the bar as opposed to sit at a table. What did I miss while I was gone? What else? What did you guys talk about? I didn't listen to any of the shows, so you guys could have talked so much shit. The only thing I listened to was the great collaboration that Rob put together for us of you all,
because we can't figure out the ending
and fumbling an ending that I've said 400 times. Plus,
I always want to do the beginning instead of the end.
Yeah.
Always. I don't know why.
What did I miss? Any good topics? Anything that I should know about?
I'd have to go back and listen, but
I told the full story of my beer bus from hell. It wasn't actually from hell. It turned out great fun. It was a huge story where the bridge was out and we had to take back roads and to a brewery that had just opened or hadn't really just opened. It was like we were the first visitors, and that was pretty fun. We talked about beer cities we've been to, places Uber have dropped us that shouldn't have.
Right.
Wouldn't the bus have reached out to that brewery before showing up? Like, hey, we're coming to your brewery with X amount of people.
They were expecting us.
Driver was drinking. Yeah,
he was super excited that we were coming because we were basically the first tour he was having at the new facility.
Wait, did you say Uber X driver was drinking, or
no? The bus driver was drinking.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, well, because one of you mentioned like places where Ubers dropped you off. I think
Rob tried to break into some place in South Africa. Apparently,
that's right.
I think I told the story about my Uber driver in Indianapolis that was
so high
I had to give him directions.
And then he wouldn't stop because there was a cop there.
Yeah, he wouldn't stop at the place he was taking us to because there was a cop. So he dropped us like a block and a half down.
There's back in the Wild West days of Uber, where the Uber drivers would purposely take you the long way to get to your place. I remember back when I lived in Detroit, I can't remember where I got picked up, but I remember going on 75 North, 75 South, 94 East and 94 West. And I'm like, I was just in like Midtown. Like I wasn't far away. How did this take this long? I have one question for y'all before we kind of close up shop, unless you guys have any other topics, but open intox for backseat passengers of an Uber. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
No, you need a chauffeur's license for that.
Do you really?
So thumbs down. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, now I feel bad.
Yeah, so thumbs down.
Yeah, thumbs down because it'll make our... Uber costs are already so high.
I can't tell you how many times I've brought a can of beer or a glass of beer or something like that into an Uber. I mean, I did it just as recent as when we were in San Antonio a year and a half ago.
You know, they probably won't care, but it's bad news if you get pulled over. You know,
No. Actually, that's
probably a lot of them will care, but it's bad news for the driver.
Yeah, no, that's it. There's a difference between knowing it's like bad and the driver, like if the driver said, hey, don't do that, obviously I'm not going to do it. But if knowing now that it's not necessarily a good idea, I'm probably not going to do it anymore. Kind of like the whole drinking in the parking lots of breweries for opening, you know, beer releases. Yes. Like, we know this is illegal now, so I will never participate in it again. Whereas some breweries don't care. Oh yeah. I saw a post recently of Ascension, and they always have the patio banister filled with all the empty bottles and stuff all across.
Oh, jeez. Nice.
But I mean, it's not like they're hiding it in a parked car or something like that. Or people are like huddling over tailgating. Like they're doing it right in the open that someone could see them right off of the main road. But if they don't care, then I don't, you know, that's their license, not mine. I know this can end their license, so I'm not going to participate and be that person. Just like now that I know if people don't take tokens at Michigan brewery festivals, like you can get in a lot of trouble by not taking the tokens. Pipe and Brock, I think, brought it up to us where if like MLCC person is there and they purposely don't give you a token, like they could shut down the entire festival after one incident.
Oh, wow.
Like that is crazy to me. But after that, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to make sure, especially at the Michigan Guild festivals, like it's 50 cents an extra token. Like it's not,
you just hand them pennies and it works.
It's not that.
No, it's not what you do.
No. You still got to hand them a token.
Here at Better Kendo Draft. Sold it.
I did a little bit, but I guess Wendy is right. I should have made sure. to have said something. It's something where the other festivals, like when we went to 2 years ago, so last year at the Brewsology Festival at the Michigan Science Theater, Michigan Science Center, they didn't care about tickets or anything. This year they did, but after like 3 minutes, nobody cared about tickets. So you know, guild festivals obviously have a different license than a regular beer festival. When I say like regular, like, you know, it's not a guild, so there's different rules that you have to follow. Also big rules. Burning Foot is now the Burning Foot Beverage Festival or something like that. Like it's not a beer festival anymore. It's a cocktail, beer, cider, wine, everything fest. So that'll be interesting to see this coming year. Great festival if you've never been to it. What's that, Wendy?
There's a lot of changes. They're coming on the show to talk about it this year. There's a lot of changes.
I'm sure we can get them on. Obviously, the gentleman that we talked to a few times ago is no longer the president of the Lakeshore Guild. So it is a whole different thing. That's why I think that's why you also got the reggaeton music last year, as opposed to the weird, that's what I call late 90s, early 2000s hit mix of Filter, Everlast, Lit, Limp Bizkit cover band, and a few others. That's going to do it for us for this episode 345. We will be back in 2 weeks. That's right, 2 weeks at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, our brand new start time. Thank you to everyone who joined us in the chat as I'm kind of going through. We got Bill Carney, Chris Connor. We've got Brian Lesniewski. We've got the Half-Ass Beer Review over on YouTube. And, of course, our friend, our number one fan, Toots McCrog.
Oh yeah, Toots.
Good old Toots McCrog was back. He is drinking a Two Tides Lime Light Lager, saying happy Friday to us. Thank you so much for joining us. Are you guys ready? Pencils, take notes, because what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.
Cheers.